Praise the Lord, everyone. I, too, am incredibly grateful for everything that happened at PAWS. It was noteworthy to me the way that there was certainly some things that happened individually, but there was also some things that I think the body allowed to happen collectively for all of us together. And, you know, I remember the earliest involvement that I had in some meetings like that. There was a lot of breaking apart and a lot of tearing down. I think that for me at least, and I think maybe also for a lot of us, we're seeing the benefits of being more pliable, being more receptive to what the Lord wants to do, and being more open and more available for Him. And as we are less resistant, He's able to, I believe, accomplish some very, very specific, very powerful works. And it's been great to see that. This is something that the Lord put into my spirit. I think it was probably during PAWS, the Lord started having me kind of look at this, and what really let me know that I was on the right track. It was in some ministry that Brother Johnston was involved in, and shared that verse where Jesus communicated that it was not for them to know the times or the seasons. It's not for you to know the times or the seasons. And he was talking about the coming of the kingdom of God. And it struck me in that moment, absolutely, not for us to know the timing. But my goodness, he revealed so much else about what that was going to happen. There were glimpses in the book of Psalms. There was early prophecies way back in Genesis. The minor prophets would hit on it. The major prophets would cover it. Daniel has whole chapters of it. There's a whole book in the book of Revelation on it. Even in the middle of the Gospels, there is study and prophecy and revealing about what's going to happen in these end times. And so we understand that there's a desire, even an urgency from the Lord to reveal what he's going to do, when he's reserving for himself, but the what he actually really wants to reveal to us. And I found that significant. And as I began studying about the temptation of Jesus, and this was in Matthew 4 and 1, I'm just going to read through this here briefly, and maybe we'll see if I can get my app to work. This app is always so flaky. That's what happens when I multitask. There it goes. Yay, it works for the moment. Matthew 4 and 1. Then was Jesus led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple. And said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Quite familiar, I think, with this passage. And if I can categorize sort of what these temptations are, the first one was really one toward his flesh. It was really something challenging, something that he needed to eat. And there was a solution presented to him that could solve that problem. And I think when, at least for me, when I'm starting into what I would call a wilderness experience, that's usually my first concern. I start becoming concerned about, and sometimes I guess that's related to the nature of the crisis, right? The crisis is financial. You start being concerned about how you're going to pay the bills. If the crisis is your job, your concern is where am I going to work? How am I going to provide? And that's all perfectly natural and normal. And so we see that as the first part in here. And there's lots of lessons to be had on that, but I'm going to move on. The second one is sort of interesting. I characterize this as kind of more of an attack, if you will, on the mind, the center of logic and reason. God made us logical, reasonable people, and that's certainly something I can relate to. There is no situation too simple that I cannot overcomplicate it. I promise you, I'm a master at it. It's terrifying. And so I love complicated things. And here, in this case, the enemy presented Jesus with what was really kind of a legal problem. And when he said, if you're, I'll see if I can go back here for you. That ought to be interesting. Let's see, where was that at? That was, oh yeah, right here. Said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. So it's one of those things where it seemed logical, it seemed reasonable. He's almost creating like a legal loophole, sort of daring, trying to kind of force the hand of God by creating a situation where the only logical outcome was that God would respond in this specific way. And I think sometimes for me in wilderness experiences, I start trying to rationalize things. I start trying to work things out and maybe trying to even create situations where I can, even if I'm having a hard time controlling what's happening to me in the middle of all of this, I'm going to try to find some way of bending the situation or creating a situation that maybe forces somebody's hand in this. So anyway, that's kind of the second one. But it's the third one, back to this notion of timing, that I really want to focus on. And we look at because I believe that the third temptation of Jesus here was really a temptation of timing. And let me show you why I think that. We look at these verses in verses 8, and then the offer that was given in verse 9, and then the conditions that were given there in verse 10. We look at the conditions that were given into here. Oops, sorry, back in 9, the condition there. All these things I will give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. And we look at those conditions, and it's really, honestly, for me, it takes on almost an unbelievable dimension in this story. I hate to use the term cartoonish, but it's almost like that because it seems so utterly ridiculous that this could even be something that Jesus would even entertain, that he would ever even consider worshiping the enemy. I mean, it's totally another different realm, right? And so it looks as if this whole thing is playing out just like it's a bunch of theater. But the Bible says in another part of the word that he was in all ways tempted like we were, but without sin. So this was a credible threat. Somehow what was happening here in this exchange was a valid temptation. It was a real thing that he was having to deal with. It was not just a passing situation. And again, I look at that offer and it seems crazy. But if you look at what the enemy was offering him, he says in verse 8, he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said unto him, all these things will I give thee. That was the offer. The offer from the enemy was, if you'll change what you're worshiping, if you'll make an adjustment to your priorities, I will give you all of these kingdoms and all the glory of them. We read, the reason why this is an issue of timing is because in Philippians chapter 2 and looking at verse, we'll say verse 9. For this reason also became he, because he obeyed and so completely humbled himself, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow in submission of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess and openly acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord or sovereign God, to the glory of God the Father. Now he was 100% man and 100% God. And so he knew where this was going. And I believe that he had a vision for where this was going to be. He had the revealing of what would happen that we read in the book of Revelation. He knew that this was coming. He knew that there would be a time when that name that he carried would be exalted above everything else. He knew there would be a time when every knee was going to bow in submission to him. That was going to come. It was revealed. It was foreordained. It was set. That was going to come. And so the offer, the temptation that the enemy had was really a matter of timing. The offer from the enemy, the temptation in the wilderness that came to him was to get that sooner, to get it out of sequence of the timing of the Lord. Now, if we look closely, we can see that the offers did actually diverge a little bit. We see that they're not really like for like. Here it says, every tongue will confess and openly acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And it says in the verse before that, so the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth. If you remember, the offer from the enemy was to give him power over just the earth, just that level. You know, sometimes when we're in the midst of these trials, we're in the midst of the wilderness we're in, as one general said, the fog of war, as the saying goes. When you're in the midst of this and you're dealing with it, the temptation really can be to settle, to when you're presented with something that is maybe starts to look a lot like what God has promised, starts to resemble closely what he said, you can kind of start thinking and be like, well, maybe I exaggerated his original offer. Maybe I was overinflating what it was that he was planning to do. Maybe it'll be okay if I just take this offer that's here in front of me. And again, I mean, in this case, it was the enemy that was offering it to him, but you know, it could easily have just be a different job offer in your life, or it could be some other alternative. It could be the timing of when the Lord is sending you into various places, as we heard in testimony a moment ago. It could really simply be these situations that start to unfold. And again, with the intention of God being that He wants to reveal what He's doing. He wants to give us a glimpse. I believe that it's the nature of God, the intent of God, to give us insight into what the wilderness is going to purchase in us, to give us some insight that if you can just endure this process that you're going through right now, then this is what you're going to be involved in. This is what you're going to see. I felt that through pause. I felt that through the ministry there. And I'm beginning to feel it specifically in all corners of my life, that the Lord is starting to give me glimpses. The challenge now is to not settle. The challenge for me now is to hold to those things and trust His timing and not be pulled off course by a glimpse of something that is, if I can use this term, premature, not fully formed, not quite there yet, in the making, in the process, but not quite fully formed. I think that this is so critical for where we are at right now as a body, because we are just right on the edge of some incredible things that the Lord is going to do in us collectively as a body, in our city, in our family, in our jobs. We are going to see Him working as we've never seen Him working before. And it's going to be a product of his perfect timing. And it's going to be a consequence and an outcome of everything that we have allowed him to lead us through. And so when we see some of this starting to come about, when we see this starting to take shape, our challenge should be to look at it, and especially if we have an opportunity to maybe take an early exit from whatever process it is that we're in, to really take a look at that and say, okay, is this really the hand of God, and is this really the complete realization of what he wants for me? I think this is also why it's so important to have a spiritual authority and a man of God in your life that you can bring these things into, who is not in the midst of it, and you can submit it to him. There's some things taking shape right now for me related to my job, and there's been a number of cases where I could kind of start to grab a hold of something and say, well, let's see if we can turn it. Well, maybe it's going to turn out like this. And every single time, thankfully, I've got a bit of a check in the spirit. The Lord's like, nope. Just keep my hands off, right? I'm not even sending text messages asking people for statuses. I'm just not, right? But I'm also keeping my bishop informed, letting him know this is what's happening, this is what's going, and so that as this begins to progress, I have that perspective, because I don't want to. I've been through some stuff, as we all have. Once is plenty, thank you. I don't want to go through this again. I want to learn everything the Lord has for me this time around, and I want to get all of it, because selfishly, I don't want to go through it again. But then when I look back, even for myself, I don't think the kingdom can afford to wait any longer for me to get my act together, right? I need to be serious about this. And be ready to be involved in whatever it is the Lord has planned. And I'm not going to settle, and I'm not going to be distracted. I'm going to resolve. I will not settle. I resolve. I will not be distracted. I will stay in the process. I will seek his face and trust his timing. Amen?
Why don't we stand together tonight? Seems like the hardest thing for us to do as children of God is to wait and to let his timing unfold. And I've found there have been a couple situations of late that I've talked with my wife about that we're dealing with on a family level and personal level. And there was one particular situation one day where I was dealing with the man that is probably going to build our house, and he started putting pressure on me. You better do this, you better do it quick, because I got to do this, and I got this, and this, and this, and this, and this, and if this doesn't happen, it's going to get pushed out, and yeah. Hold on. Why are you putting pressure on me? This will happen in the timing of God, and if I got to wait 6 months, I got to wait 6 months. God wants me to wait 6 months. I'm not going to let some circumstance or some situation put pressure on me to try to push me ahead of the will and plan and purpose of God or the timing of God. And so you just, that's okay. However long it takes, we're just going to be right here waiting until God says go. Well, a few more weeks go by and some different things unfold, and now I've sent some stuff out. I've asked some people for some information, and I had to go follow up on some emails with them. They came back and said, you know, I'm sorry. I wanted to get that to you today, and then we had all this rain the last 3 days. It's just tore up some stuff for me. I'm sorry. I can't get back to you for a week. I know who's in control of the rain. I get irritated at somebody who owes me information and say, well, then you know what? I'll just find somebody else. I can say, hold on. That's okay. You take your time. God's in control. He knows everything. But in our humanity, and this is, I apologize. I can't get away from this whole discernment thing. Knowing the difference between spiritual resistance and no. Knowing the difference between spiritual resistance and a closed door. Knowing the difference between his timing and me trying to rush things. Whatever it is. I don't know what doors are set in front of you. I don't know what things that you're pursuing right now that you believe that God is lockstep, that you're lockstep with him right now concerning that situation, but it's just not, it's not unfolding at the pace that you think it should be. Trust him. Trust his timing. He will do it when it's time. And I can tell you from experience, you're only going to get frustrated. You're only going to get frustrated when you try to push beyond it. Because it's almost as if it just becomes harder. Life sometimes is hard just as it is. Why make it harder on myself? Why try to make it more difficult by pushing against his will? Father, we thank you tonight for the great reminder from your word of waiting upon you, of waiting upon your timing, waiting for you to open the doors, waiting for you to lead us step by step. Father, we yield ourselves to the process tonight. We yield ourselves to your timing tonight in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we know that you have all things in your control tonight. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Before you're dismissed, or you can be dismissed, I need to see Brother Heiner, Brother